Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
More free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're with us, whatever Super Talk radio station you're tuned into. Or if you're checking us out online, don't forget about our podcast. You can hear it later today. But welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob and Kelly Dima out today. Great show for you today. Mike Frazier from JUCO Weekly will be joining us later in the program. Catch us up on junior college action. Andrew Abity from Pine Belt Sports going to give us the latest from Southern Miss football practice. And we're going to start off the show today with the play-by-play voice of this week's opponent, Arkansas State University. Matt Stoltz is about to join us momentarily. I want to remind you about Dickey's Barbecue Pit, great supporters of ours, great supporters of Southern Miss Athletics, and just a great place to have dinner any night you want. Or cater this weekend's tailgate, next tailgate, whatever your occasion may be. Dickey's specializes in catering, and I can assure you they will do a good job for you. All right, Matt Stoltz makes a return to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. He's the play-by-play voice of this weekend's opponent, Arkansas State University. Well, Matt, first of all, thanks for the thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Your team comes in Saturday night 3-3 with a highly touted quarterback. And you guys, I think your record is very misleading because you have played a brutal, brutal schedule. Talk about the teams, first off, Matt, that Arkansas State has played to this point of the year.
Well, first off, it's great to be on with you guys again. And yes, it's been a extremely tough first half of the schedule. The Red Wolves have won their first three home games. They defeated a very good FCS opponent in Central Arkansas. Then they had a home victory over Tulsa. And then in their conference opener, they had a nice home victory over South Alabama. But in the three road games, they've had to go on the road and take on the defending national champions at Michigan. And Red Wolves actually played pretty good in that ball game. In fact, lost by only 10. It was a 28-18 final. So I think we saw a lot of good things come out of that game and then had to go on the road against what has turned out to be an extremely good Iowa State team. They're sitting there in the top 10 now and have a record of 6-0. And then last week, the Red Wolves were on the road at Texas State, who's the preseason pick to win the league. So, yeah, three really, really tough road games. You look at the record at 3-3, maybe a little bit deceiving at this point.
And your quarterback,
Jalen Rayner.
Freshman player of the year last year.
Right.
A sophomore this year. So, you know, when you got a good quarterback, you got a chance to win every game, Matt.
Yeah, and Jalen hasn't really got to the form where we saw last year, but make no mistake, he's the leader of this football team. And it was really his coming out party last year in that game in Jonesboro against Southern Miss. That was his first career start. You go back the week before, he had come in the second half of a game against Stony Brook, and you could see that he was the guy that the Red Wolves kind of wanted to move forward with. And he had a great performance against the Golden Eagles in that game. And as you mentioned, he went on to win Sun Belt Conference Freshman of the Year. And, you know, he had an off season where he was one of three sophomore quarterbacks that went to the Manning Passing Academy. So that was certainly a great experience for him. And, look, I think there's still some really high expectations for this offense, high expectations for Jalen. They haven't put up the big numbers that I know a lot of people were expecting through the first half of the year. But as we just talked about, The schedule has been pretty brutal to this point. We've been down a couple of offensive linemen for a good part of the season that are now back. So I think he's got some confidence now in that offensive line that maybe he didn't have the first few weeks. And I look forward to kind of seeing his progression going into this week.
And Butch Jones, you know, was kind of under fire last year. You know, a lot of people kind of thought, well, what was his? But it seems to me, Matt, and this is purely as an outsider, obviously, looking in, it seems like he's found, you know, unless the wheels would completely fall off unexpectedly, it sounds like he's got a long-term home now in Jonesboro, if that's where he wants to be.
You know, he really has done a great job at just plugging himself into the community. And one thing that you have to respect about Coach Jones is the fact that he came in with a long-term vision. And in today's world of college football, you guys know it's really, really easy to see so many schools just try to, you know, go all in on the transfers. And maybe they're using their school as a stepping stone and they want to win right now. And they're not thinking about building. You know, Coach Jones, he kind of tore it down and built it back up his way. And he built it through the high school ranks. And you see what he's done now. He's turned in three consecutive number one ranked recruiting classes in the Sun Belt. And he's done it through relationships. He's done it through high schools. And then, you know, plugging guys in where we have needs through the transfer portal. And I think that's the way, you know, he's kind of proven to us as an Arkansas State program, as a fan base, that he's in it for the long term. He's got a long-term vision for this program, and you saw a very rough start to his tenure at Arkansas State. He knew it would be the way that he was building this program, go from two wins in year one to three victories in year two, and although you were much more competitive in that second year. In fact, we won three games that year. However, led in eight of those contests in the fourth quarter. So it was just getting to the point where you built some competitive depth and were able to finish ball games. Then you go from three wins in year two to six wins and back to a bowl game last season, and now they're trying to take that next step this season. But he's building it his way, and you got to have a lot of respect for that.
A lot of pressure on Jalen Rayner, the sophomore quarterback, because of the expectations. He hasn't performed, like you said, a lot of that because of the schedule, but he's working on some mechanical things that he's a little bit unsure of at this point. Is that fair to say, Matt?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and I think some of that goes back to the confidence in the offensive line early in the season when you had a couple of guys maybe playing out of position and you had your first team all-conference tackle, McKeelan Thomas, out for those first four games. So I think he was having to move around maybe more than he's accustomed to. He is a guy that can take off and run the football, but Jalen has a fantastic arm as well. He's got a great deep ball. He's completing 60% of his passes, but he's a guy that I think has been working on his mechanics. He watches a ton of film. He and Butch Jones a couple of weeks ago during the bye week sat down and just went through a lot of things together, footwork and trying to throw off the right foot and make sure that you're doing all the little things right. And I think Jalen is making a lot of progress in that regard. And there's nobody around this program, nobody in our fan base that doesn't have a world of confidence in Jalen Rayner. What he showed us last year is a true freshman coming in and doing what he did, I think, kind of showed us a glimpse of just how good he can be. And we're waiting to see that this season. And look, we have seen it at times this year. We're not saying that he hasn't been good, during particular moments this year. Twice this season, and two of our wins, we've seen him bring the Red Wolves from behind in the final 2 minutes. He is a master at running that two-minute offense, and showed it again a couple of weeks ago in that victory against South Alabama. And just as good in the two-minute offense as anybody you'd want to have. So I think it's just being able to engineer drives that end in scores. They're accumulating yards right now. They're just not finishing a lot of drives. And there's been a lot of focus as far as red zone and red zone efficiency. kind of going into this week, and that's one area where I expect them to improve.
Well, one of the goals for any of the teams in the Sun Belt is to win their respective division. The Wolves, the Red Wolves, are in the Western Division. So, unfortunately, the way the season has gone for Southern Miss, if you don't get this one, Matt, it's like giving another one back to the field. So this is a big one for the Red Wolves.
Yeah, and, you know, Butch Jones has been emphasizing that with his team this week. Yeah, everybody knows that Southern Miss has their backs up against the wall, which makes them dangerous. We know it's homecoming this weekend in Hattiesburg, so our guys are certainly aware of that. They know that the Golden Eagles are going to play their best football game this weekend. So I think that makes them dangerous in that regard. The Red Wolves know that they haven't won on the road yet this year. So this is an opportunity. You know, if you're going to compete for championships, you got to learn how to win on the road. And A-State knows that if they're going to compete in the Western Division, this is one they got to have this week.
All right, Matt, we really appreciate you coming on the show. I don't guess you'd know this, but this is kind of breaking news. Kelly has been named homecoming queen for 2024.
Is that right? Well, congratulations to Kelly.
Kind of an indication of the way the year is going.
Well, I'm thrilled. The only other thing I've ever won is a canned ham back in fourth grade.
So. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Stoltz, everybody, Arkansas State University. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, this segment is sponsored by Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street. Miss Kathleen's the best. We say it every day because it's true. And we also tell you, if you've got a Golden Eagle on your shopping list for Christmas, well, then kind of a no-brainer that you want to go to Campus Book Mart. If you're listening in other parts of the state, other parts of the country, just go to campusbookmart.net, order whatever you like, and they'll have it delivered right to your front door. I want to thank Matt Stoltz from Arkansas State. Remember what he said. They have three losses. They're to Michigan, Iowa State, and Texas State, all on the road. Andrew Abbott joins us now from Pine Belt Sports. Andrew, that's a little bit ominous. I mean, I think the 3-3 record is a little misleading when you've played that kind of competition early in the year. You agree?
Yeah, no question. I had Arkansas State kind of being the dark horse of the Sun Belt West. I thought it would honestly be them and Texas State going at it to sneak into the Sun Belt Championship.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And it starts with Jalen Rayner, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Will has said it this week. He had their coming out party against Southern Miss last year. So, you know, we've already seen what this guy is capable of.
All right, Andrew, put your finger on what has to be done to end the skid that the Golden Eagles are on.
Well, I think you got to convert a third down. More
than
one.
That would be a good start. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they've converted just one third down in the last four games. I think I have to go back and look, but I know heading into the last game, they hadn't converted a single third down in the second half. You know, that, you know, in my opinion, I know a lot of people might disagree slightly, but I think the defense has played well. But you look at the time of possession, and it's, you know, they're on the field for 20 more plays than Southern Miss's offense is. And, you know, it's just the root of a lot of problems right now, you know, on the field. And, I mean, I feel like if you can keep driving at the same time for Southern Miss's defense, get off the field on third down, you know, these games will, you know, I think have less of a chance of unraveling the way they have in the last couple weeks.
And really, I might be overstating the obvious, but we haven't really brought it up on this program, part of the problem with the third down situation is they're not doing near enough on first and second down. You know, leaving themselves in far too many third and long situations. Obviously, it's easier to convert a third and one than a third and 12, you know, between penalties and sacks and things like that. So I don't know if, you know, Andrew, I don't know if it's play calling or what, but clearly this offense, if it's going to do it, it has to do a better job on first and second down to take the pressure off of third down, it would seem to me.
Yeah, and honestly, I think a lot of it has, and I think this is what a lot of the frustration has been, is, you know, self-inflicted wounds, especially with, you know, some sort of penalty on third down that calls back a third down play, or, you know, sets them back on, you know, they'll get third and favorable, and then there's some silly penalty. And, you know, for some of it, it's, you know, some things, you know, that's subjective to the officials, but it feels like as of lately, it's just been, you know, kind of foolish penalties that really need to get cleaned up. I mean, that's one of the things that I think is frustrating, to say the least, for fans and probably for everybody involved. But, you know, I do think in some ways the offense was a little more dynamic and better with Crawford in terms of trying to give themselves more favorable third downs last week. And, you know, I do think Ethan's going to play better this week with, you know, just having a game under his belt back, with being back for a couple weeks. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they need to set themselves up for favorable third downs.
Yeah, let me say something that may be a little encouraging. I had a chance this morning to spend some time with Neville Barr, who certainly knows football. And, you know, he made a comment to me, Andrew. He said, whenever you have an offensive line that's struggling and not able to push and get a running game started, you're much better off to have an athletic quarterback that can make some plays on his own, as opposed to a drop-back quarterback who's really dependent on the line to keep people off of him. So if Ethan Crawford can get 100% healthy, he has the potential to bring that extra dynamic to the offense. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's why I thought Ethan should have been the starter at the beginning of the season. And I know I had said Tate will be the starter, but that was going off of how they were doing things in practice. But, you know, to me, and this goes back to the fall, and I said this before during fall camp, you know, yeah, his throws aren't as pretty as Tate's at times, but it opened up the run game so much. He can run it. You know, the RPO is way more deadly. And like you mentioned, this offensive line, as we knew coming into the season, had struggled. I mean, you need a guy who can, you know, do things off script and, you know, in some ways run for his life a couple times. But, you know, I just felt like Ethan could do so many different things for them that it would, in a sense, help the woes at offensive line.
Andrew, earlier in the year, in Will Hall's own words, he said, "We have everything we need to win here." He knew that this was the season that they had to win. There's been people in the fan base that have questioned, you know, leadership. How would you describe the position Jeremy McClain is in right now?
I think right now it's probably lose-lose is the best way to describe it. You know, for him right now, you know, you're playing the money game. And, you know, I had written before the season the worst-case scenario for not just – the football program, but the athletic department as a whole, is Will Hall getting fired, because it's going to dig them in a horrible financial hole. And also in a time where you cannot afford to get fall back on this is an NIL. You know, that it's just going to drive you down in a lot of ways. And, you know, the thing with firing Will Hall, if that happens, whether it be midseason, end of the season, you got to pay a buyout. You got to buy out the assistant coaches, and also you got to pay the next group of coaches probably more money. The USA Today coaches' salaries came out. Southern Miss is about mid-pack in the Sun Belt. I mean, in my mind, you're going to have to pay the next coach $1 million.
Yeah, and not to mention the assistants. I just wonder, do you guys know, I know that head coaches, due to the way the laws are set up, they're automatically renewed a year. Am I right about that? I mean, in other words, Will technically has a contract through next year because of the extension. First question is that correct, Andrew?
Yes and no. So the way Jeremy has done it, and the way it has been explained to me, in most places besides Mississippi, coaches are offered a standard five-year contract for the major sports. Mississippi does not allow that. You're offered four. So most of the universities give the coaches a one-year automatic rollover. Jay Ladner got it. I think Oz had gotten it, or Barry had gotten it, sorry. It's something they have done. But Will got his extension after the bowl season, and he also got a slight pay bump well after that bowl game.
Okay, so that's not the case then.
Not entirely, but I think Will would have. I think they would have given it to him anyway.
I got you. Okay. Well, we're presuming that's going to happen, and who knows? Maybe things get turned around. What have they got to do other than just the third down issue Saturday night? And I thought you made a great observation early. You've seen a defensive collapse in the fourth quarter of most games, but I think it may be because they're just physically tired from being on the field virtually the whole game, Andrew.
Yeah, no, I don't place when. And here's the thing: you look at most college football games. Why do college football games get so crazy in the last 5-6 minutes of a game? It's because the defenses are gassed. They're not tackling as well. You might get a great play here and there, but we all know the offenses tend to pick it up in the last 5 minutes of a fourth quarter. You know, you can kind of expect that. How different is last week's game if you cash in on the red zone, those two red zone trips, instead of kicking field goals, and you might have a lead? I mean, there's so many different things to it, and I just think it's a product of the offense not delivering enough. I mean, sure, the defense would like to get off the field with third downs, but I mean, they held it. They made it a game. And it's kind of been like that for most of the season. In my mind, the offense has to be their best defense right now. It's kind of, in my brain, as simple as that.
Well, who do you think is the better team between Arkansas State and Louisiana Monroe that they just played?
You know, I haven't watched Arkansas State, but, you know, they have played a really tough schedule. I wouldn't have guessed ULM would have been on the upper tier of the Sun Belt West, or I'm sorry, leading the Sun Belt West the way they are.
Leading, isn't that amazing?
So, yeah, I don't know. And in fact, it's probably going to be one of the games to determine, you know, who wins the division. It should be, I mean, I think it'll be a good game, but I think, you know, ULM is, they know what they are. You know, they're kind of an old school football team that plays nasty defense and is going to run the ball right at you. Arkansas State's a little more modern. I think you could, you know, knowing what I know, having not seen Arkansas State, you could probably flip a coin.
All right, Andrew, always good talking to you. You always make great contributions to our show. We appreciate it, man. Look forward to have you back on real soon.
All righty. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. And tell Humphrey the dog we said hello.
What a guy. That is a great name.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew. Thanks. Andrew Rabbity, everybody. Pine Belt Sports.
We love dogs on this show, Bob.
We absolutely do love dogs.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Mike Frazier.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. We want to thank Andrew Abbey for joining us. Pine Belt Sports, great sports writer, does a wonderful job covering Southern Miss. Matt Stoltz from Arkansas State University, who brought us a kind of depressing news when you really consider their 3-3 records. Quite not what you might think on the surface. This segment is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right in the shadow of the Rock. Where you can watch the game tomorrow night, although you should be at the stadium. It's homecoming.
We're actually going to tailgate there.
Are you?
Saturday, yeah.
Well, you just ruined his business, Kelly. I mean, there would have been other people to come, but now you've put that word out, and they're kind of like people in your neighborhood moving out.
Oh, yeah.
You're a good sponsor, and you're going to go screw things up.
I just changed my plans. Yeah,
4th Street Bar and Grill. Even though Kelly will be there, it'll be a great place to go. Mobe Beignet Company, after lunch at 4th Street, you can go over to Mobe Beignet and get a delicious beignet and I'm going to get down there, hopefully today, if not next week, and I'm going to set up the Beignet Eating Showdown Part 2 between Kelly Santer and Dima Mixon. And I'm going to get Jody Lott to come down and be the official.
Oh, no.
I'm going to ask Jody about doing that.
Oh, Dima's odds just went way up.
Way up.
Yeah.
Mike Frazier, he doesn't participate in beignet eating contests, but I've never met anybody that knows more about junior college football in Mississippi, and he joins us every Thursday. And, Mike, some big upsets. Hard to explain what happened in junior college football last week.
Boy, there were. However, you know, covering this league for, gosh, 31 years now, I am not surprised. You know, if you recall when we spoke, I was high on East Central.
Yeah.
And they got behind the eight ball early on. But here they come, you know, at the top of the stretch here in October. And Jonathan Webster's got that football team in a good position. And what's wild about that MACC South Division is Mississippi Gulf Coast, Colon, and East Central all control their own destinies. So it is a I'm not surprised. Now, I know I said last week I didn't think East Central would beat Mississippi Gulf Coast. But that being said, nothing surprises me. That is a cold-hearted league, and teams get taken down throughout the course of the year in both divisions.
Well, that was the buzz across all the stadiums last Thursday night to begin with. But then the word comes down that Lowly Hines, who, God bless them, have not done a whole lot this year, knocks off Jones? What in the world?
That was a stunner. Now, you could put that one up in the stunning category. I mean, who would have saw that coming? And that's just a devastating blow to Jones and their playoff chances. So, man, that's Life in the Mississippi JUCO system.
Now, one of the spotlight games tonight, and I know you're going to break some of these down with us with the standings and some of the players that are doing especially well. Gulf Coast now having to lick its wounds and goes over to Colon tonight, and that's a battle of a couple of Titans over there in Wesson.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, Trey Minor, the running back for Colon, a little under the radar with, you know, the numbers compared to some of the other running backs in Mississippi, but make no mistake, man, these guys are solid. Glenn Davis, 21 years, you know, I mean, his two losses this year, one divisional loss to Jones, one conference loss to Holmes. So, you know, he's in good shape. It's a home game. That's going to be a great football game. Colon yielding just 87 yards on the ground, you know, with their defense. And this is the fight for freedom speech here in that Colon locker room. They got to get this game. Same with Jack Wright and Mississippi Gulf Coast. This is a must-win for both teams as, you know, they try to get into those conference playoffs. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, wide open one tonight.
And when you look at the North, when you look at the North Division, for people who have followed JUCO football in Mississippi, East Mississippi is almost always the name that gets mentioned first. But when you look at the standings in the North, Mike Frazier, East Mississippi is nowhere in the top three. I think that is just as stunning as perhaps. But credit the teams that are there, which are Holmes, Itawamba, and Northwest.
Yeah, two divisional losses have really put them behind the eight ball. They need a lot of help. Even tonight's game, even though it's a non-conference, it's a non-divisional game, they need that win, does East Mississippi, because if they are going to get in the conversation with the tiebreakers, that's one of the tiebreakers is overall record. So East Mississippi needs a lot of help. They need Itawamba to lose a game, and they'd have to run the table here and then also catch a break with how Holmes does, because Holmes is really, you know, undefeated. And, you know, even though they play Holmes, that's only going to count for one loss if East Mississippi would win. So odds are East Mississippi isn't going to get it. If I had to call it right now, I'm a big believer in Holmes. I've seen enough. That freshman quarterback last week out of Winona threw for 349 yards on 17 of 27 passing. That's Chase Richardson for Holmes. I'm a believer now. I wasn't, because you know, they played kind of the bottom-tier teams in that North Division to pile up some layup divisional wins. But I've watched enough film and just studied the numbers pretty good in depth they are solid. As long as they keep that quarterback healthy, I think Holmes wins the North and Northwest will slide in as the two seed.
Did you hear what he just said? Kelly Sanner?
You know, that's Bob's alma mater, as we all know, the Holmes Bulldogs. But to be fair, and Mike Frazier will sort this out for us, the Holmes Bulldogs now begin murderer's row in their schedule, Mike.
They do. Itawamba tonight, then East Mississippi, finishing with Northwest. So we'll find out, how tough the mustard is up there in Goodman. However, I'm a believer, guys. Look, I'm not saying they're going to run the trifecta, but they're going to come out of this thing with one loss.
Right, and remember, those three teams you just named, Kelly, they have to play Holmes. It's not just a one-way deal.
Boy, I knew when you came in wearing your maroon and gray, Bob, that this...
Ryan, I'm feeling pretty mean about this.
Yeah.
Mike, right now, this day, October 17th, 2024, what is the best junior college football team in Mississippi?
The best football team in Mississippi? Oh, it's a layup, Bob. I know where you want me to go with it. I'm staying with Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Wow, even though they went to Decatur and lost last week.
That's right. I love their balance. One loss does not shake me from the tree, guys. I am on this Gulf Coast train. They are balanced on both sides of the ball. They've got great receivers. Jack Wright's been there 7 years. So I'm on Mississippi Gulf Coast. I think Mississippi Gulf Coast gets to the conference championship game with just one loss this year.
Okay, so you talked about, you sorted out the North for us, and by mentioning Gulf Coast, you've already said who you think is going to win the South. Who's the other team that emerges from the South?
East Central.
Okay. And
I like them. They're that horse at the top of the track on the rail right now, but they got a heck of a kick to them, and I think you're about to see it. I think they get in there. They got tremendous help with Hines beating Jones. That's the opening they needed. I think East Central charges to the two spot out of the South.
I was just going to say, when Jones lost last week in that upset, does that put the Bobcats dead in the water?
No, they're mathematically alive. However, you know what it means when people say you're mathematically alive. It's just tough. It's just they need a lot of help. East Central doesn't. I think East Central could control their own destiny. And, we'll see. Look, Glenn Davis might have a lot to say about that tonight. I have a lot of respect for that man, the head coach at Cole Lynn. That is a warrior. That man is a football coach, and he's a winner. So that is no slight on Glenn Davis.
And, Mike, we've talked about the work that you guys do at JUCOweekly.org, and we're all big fans here. And I know you – tell us again, because we had to do it kind of quickly last time, the agreement that JUCOweekly.org has entered into with the NJCAA.
Yes, the JUCO Weekly Trophy will be presented on December 17th in Texas to the best JUCO football player in the NJCAA. You can go to JUCOweekly.com and you can check out the website. We put out a watch list. I just put up the latest watch list on Wednesday. These are 10 strong contenders that are in there. And, they're not the finalists, but these are strong contenders for that JUCO Weekly Trophy.
And
it was designed, guys, to really showcase just the talent at this level. These guys are underdogs. They get overlooked, but they're hungry, and I wanted to come up with something that really puts the spotlight on these young men.
And your new podcast features somebody from Hutchinson, Kansas.
You got it. The nation's leading rusher, Wayman Jordan Jr., out of Hutchinson, Kansas. You could check out that JUCO Rush video podcast by going to YouTube and typing in JUCO Rush. And, guys, I'd love to have you guys watch it. And also, if you can retweet our post on Twitter where we put up the show, that would be fantastic.
We're glad to do that, Mike, and we appreciate all the contribution you make to our show every week. We really do look forward to every Thursday talking to you, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show next week.
Hey, let me get in on that co-host act with you. We'll turn this into a JUCO hour, baby.
There we go. There we go. Mike Frazier, everybody. JUCO College Weekly. We really do appreciate his contribution.
The Holmes Bulldogs.
How about that, baby? Undefeated.
Home of Bob Getty back in the day.
Undefeated. Goodman, Mississippi. I'm proud of them, man. They've been on the bottom for a long time.
I wonder what that cost Joe Getty to get you in there just to accept you at the school. Because I know you didn't get there on your own merits.
He never would say. Yes. He did seem concerned.
Somebody wrote a check somewhere along the way.
I don't know. I still haven't forgiven him for not letting me go to Woodstock. So that's I'll have to tell you that story.
I would love to hear that story.
Yeah, I was 16 when I went and asked him if I could go to Woodstock. You'd have had to know my father to appreciate that response. Mobe Beignet Company, official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. Check them out, 2902 Hardy Street. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Fourth segment of the Eagle Hour, sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street, where Luke Reynolds can make your children much better at baseball and softball. State-of-the-art training facilities, great pro shop for Christmas shopping, and a beautiful, beautiful facility. Really appreciate all the support that we get from DBAT on Hardy Street. So, Kelly Center, I want to bring this up. I read an article earlier this week about the top, I think, 20 paid football coaches in America, right? And I was looking at that, and I was thinking to myself that this is almost sinful. I thought back to the surgeon that virtually saved my life 3 years ago, and has no telling how saved how many since. He doesn't make a fraction, I'm sure, of what the 20th highest paid college football coach makes. And I thought that was pretty sinful and disgusting till you just told me that one player on the Los Angeles Dodgers is making $70 million a season.
Shohei Ohtani. He just signed a 10-year, $700 million contract.
Who could be worth $70 million a year on an athletic
team? Well, the marketplace apparently determines all that. And speaking of that surgeon, Bob, you know, after the surgery was over, the surgeon told your wife, Angela,
here we go.
I did everything I could, but he pulled through anyway. So
that's exactly right. Yeah. She got a little sideways, you know. She was upset about everything, and she didn't realize she hadn't put up all the life insurance policies, and they were all laid out on the bed when I finally got home. It was a little disturbing.
Well, you better sleep with one eye open. But I remember back in the day when you and I are about the same age, that Reggie Jackson was the first player to make $1 million a season. And do you remember how everybody was going, $1 million?
Yeah.
To play baseball?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. No, Ohtani's making 70 mil.
You know, as I told you, Neville Barr was here this morning. We visited for a while, and he was looking at the picture in my office of Kenny Stabler the night my wife and I hosted him at an Alabama deal when we were doing down in
the
Florida.
Snake.
Yeah, and I don't guess a great player like Kenny Stabler ever even remotely approached that kind of money, did he?
No, I don't think so. And Kenny Stabler and guys like him would have probably drank half of it.
Well, they might have killed themselves.
Well, there was a picture, and I think you showed it to me, of Lenny Dawson, the great quarterback of the
smoking
a cigarette while he was on the sidelines.
Well, the defense.
Yeah. Times have changed a little bit. Let's get to Southern Miss news and notes. On the schedule for today, the volleyball team hosting South Alabama tonight at 7 o'clock. They will turn around and play South Al again tomorrow at 6. Also tomorrow, the track and field teams will be up in Alabama to take on the other teams at the Crimson Classic. Women's tennis will be in Birmingham tomorrow at the UAB Invitational. College football on the schedule tonight includes one Sun Belt tilt. Georgia State travels to Marshall. The Thundering Herd are an 8-point pick at home. And if I was so inclined, I would take Marshall and give the points. They're playing really well right now.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they're
upcoming on the schedule.
Yeah, they're coming down here in a couple of weeks, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. Boston College also travels to Virginia Tech. We had Mike Frazier from JUCO Weekly on just a few moments ago. The MACCC schedule includes Gulf Coast playing at Colin tonight in Wesson. There will be a game at Mississippi Delta tonight where they host Northwest. Holmes, Bob's Old stomping grounds. That's right. It travels to Itawamba, and that'll have significant impact on the standings in the North Division. Homes at Itawamba. And East Mississippi travels to Pearl River tonight in Pop Vegas. And Buddy Stevens, the head coach at East Mississippi, a longtime assistant coach at Pearl River. So East Mississippi at Pearl River. There are three games on the MACCC schedule for Saturday. A lot of the teams will schedule their homecoming games on Saturday so that alumni can come back and festivities and things like that. Among them, the Jones Bobcats, who will be hosting East Central. And he talked about how big that win East Central had last week over Gulf Coast was. And if Jones is to have any hope, they have got to win this game on Saturday. Northeast travels to Cahoma, and Hines travels to Southwest in a South Division battle. Those are your news and notes items for the day.
All right, we'll have Patrick McGee on the show tomorrow. Preview, take a look at what happens tonight. Saints play tonight, right, on Thursday night.
They do. They're playing, who are they playing?
Well, at least it's not Kansas City.
The Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
That
should be
Sean Payton. Yeah, Sean Payton returns to the Dome. That's right.
We're going to talk a little volleyball tomorrow as well. Kelly went to practice. And who'd you talk to, Kelly?
I talked to Izzy Schoenberg, and I also talked to Summer.
Sunny.
Sunny. Sunny, yeah. That's right.
And Coach Hazelwood.
That's right. But Izzy is a senior from Ankeny, Iowa. And she went to high school at Dowling Catholic in Des Moines, where she was a classmate of none other than Caitlin Clark.
Really?
So we're going to talk.
Did she take credit for teaching Caitlin Clark how to shoot threes?
No, but she did say that she knew Caitlin Clark was a competitor early in their high school career when Caitlin Clark accidentally knocked a basketball out of bounds or something, and Caitlin went and got the basketball and flung it across the court as hard as she could and almost hit somebody in the head. So she doesn't like to lose, Caitlin Clark.
Interesting earlier this week what Coach McNella said about the impact that one kid has had on an entire sport. Really phenomenal when you think about it.
It is. And Izzy will talk a little bit about her relationship with Caitlin Clark tomorrow.
New Orleans Saints football, Golden Eagle volleyball on the Super Talk Eagle Hour tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. To the
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.